Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's do a little football. Tony, let's ride. That was a lot of fun. Barry Rosner was just walking through the hallways and saw that we were here. He took his jacket off and held court for 15 minutes, and it was delightful. I'm very much looking forward to bringing that back next week for people who missed it because, you know, Barry's the truth. We've been talking a lot of Cubs because we are at Cub Convention here at the Sheraton. It's brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka, America's original craft vodka. And if you're at the Cubs convention this weekend, you should stop by Lizzie McNeil's Irish Pub next door and get the Tito's special. They'll have it all weekend long. It's championship weekend in the NFL. Even though we're at Cubs convention, we are not going to lose sight of Championship Sunday. It is going down. Chiefs and Patriots, Saints and Rams, the top two seeds in each conferences, meet up with each other for an opportunity to go to the Super Bowl. We love talking football with Robert Mays on this show. He is a fantastic NFL writer for The Ringer, and he joins me now here on The Score. Robert, thanks for joining me tonight, man. I appreciate you.
No worries. I hope you enjoy the sounds of Chicago right now as an ambulance drives by as I'm trying to do this.
Look, man, I am in the middle of the bar at the Sheraton at Cubs convention, so I got all sorts of sounds going on around me. We've got the sounds of Chicago all around us. But before I get to the Championship Sunday matchups, I'd love to know what you thought of the Bears season overall and how it ended.
I mean, in heartbreaking fashion. I mean, there's really no way around that. There's no worse way to lose a playoff game than when you felt like you played well enough to win, and then that's how it goes down. It's just a missed field goal in the moment. Now the ambulance is really here. It's driving right past me. Wonderful. And honking. Great. Great. Thank you. Thank you, Chicago. I love you. So I think that the reason that game is so tough to deal with, beyond the style in which it ended, is that it's hard to sustain success in the NFL. And it's especially hard to sustain success in the NFL if you're building your team in the way the Bears are building. Defensive dominance does not sustain from season to season. We've seen this year after year just by the math. I think the last team to have the number one defense by Football Outsiders DVOA was the 2015-2016 Broncos. They had Wade Phillips. They had immense talent. Before that, it was 20-13, 20-14 Seahawks. Even if you're number one, though, 2 years in a row, you're not transcendent. And it's very unlikely that the Bears' defense will be transcendent next year the same way they were this year. Consider how healthy they were. You lose Mack for two games. You lose Eddie Jackson for a couple. You lose Bryce Callahan. That's it. You have so many turnovers, and turnovers do not sustain no matter how good your defense is. And you lose Vic Fangio. So it's very likely that this unit will not be as good ever as they were this season. And I'm not saying they'll be bad. I think they'll be really good. But a drop from 1 to 5 necessitates you getting better in other areas of your team. And when we're talking about that, we're talking about the quarterback. And if he does not improve, it's unlikely the offense will make up for the ground the defense loses. And that's why it's so tough, because you only have so many years where you really have a chance. And I think replicating the elements that gave them that chance is tougher than people give credence to.
Where do you think Mitch can improve?
I think it's a matter of accuracy, and I think it's a matter of confidence, a matter of assertiveness. I think when he's at his best, he's trusting the way the routes are going to develop. I spent a lot of time around the Saints this week, And I understand that comparing Drew Brees to Mitchell Trubisky is a fool's errand and it's silly. And one is in his second year, one is, you know, a decade and a half, 2 decades into a Hall of Fame career. But what I was amazed by is just how much trust Brees has in the route combinations and his willingness to kind of let things loose because he trusts the calls and he trusts his understanding of the coverage. I think when Mitch is at his worst, it's when he's not scrambling physically, but scrambling mentally. And I think that Matt Nagy is such a good offensive coach, and I trust his ability to dial up the right calls against the right coverages and the right scenarios. I think that his quarterback can get a lot better if he trusts those calls, if he believes the right read, if he lets that ball loose before he thinks he should. His interceptions are not born of quick decisions. They're born of decisions deep in the down. And I think that's the biggest thing he has to improve on. I don't think he's an inaccurate passer. I think that his inaccuracy is born of uncertainty. And I think that if he can improve that certainty and trust the things that are going on around him, he can get a lot better.
Robert Mays covers the NFL for The Ringer. He joins us here on The Score as we talk a little bit about the Bears and championship weekend. Alex Brown, by the way, is going to join us around 7:40 to do some of the same. Real quick, your thoughts on Pagano replacing Vic?
It's tough to say because it's been so long since Chuck has been in that role. You know, in Indianapolis, he ceded the defensive control to his coordinators, and they weren't very good. I mean, and the Colts defenses in recent years have been bad, and I know their personnel was bad because their GM was historically terrible at his job. But you would assume that a really, really good defensive coordinator would be able to lift them. I think that the personnel talent necessarily wasn't that much better this year, but Matt Eberflus was so good that you didn't notice it. So I'm wondering how much of a hand Chuck had in what that defense was. If it's a lot, then I'm worried. If it's none, then I'm a little less worried. He is one of the best people you'll meet in professional football. He is a class character who I really like, but it's been a long time since he coordinated a defense. So I think this comes with more uncertainty than anything else. I know it's a big name, but I don't know how comfortable Bears fans should feel with that big name.
Okay, now let's talk about championship weekend. Let's start with the AFC title game. What intrigues you about this matchup that maybe we're not thinking of?
To me, it's how the Patriots defense attacks the Chiefs offense. And I don't know what the answer is. You know, when you watch the Colts play against them, it's mostly zone. And the Chiefs do such a good job of attacking zone because Mahomes can extend plays. And if you can find voids late in downs, you're going to destroy zone. That's exactly what happened. You know, that sidearm throw he had to Kelsey, that's born of zone defense because you're giving a guy time because you feel like you have enough defenders in the back end to deal with it. I don't think the Patriots are going to do that. First of all, they're the man-heaviest team in the NFL. It's about 56% of their downs, I believe, 56 to 58, that they run man coverage. No one else does it more. If you watch the first game they played, they did a lot of that kind of mush, muddle rush at the front where you don't know who's coming and you don't know who's not, and they blitzed a lot. And I think that you might see something similar. Typically, the Patriots will do things in the regular season in order to not do it in the playoffs because they want you to think that's their tendency. But I think they're probably going to come to the conclusion that it's best to go after Mahomes. And I'm just fascinated to see if that's actually where they land because predicting Belichick's game plans is borderline impossible.
Last night I was having a conversation about the throws that Patrick Mahomes makes and how you can see the baseball in the throws. I know that you've done a lot of work on him and talking with people around the NFL about him throughout the season. Is there enough evidence that we might be looking at someone who's not just having a good year, but might be a generational talent?
I think the answer is yes. And I know that we shouldn't be prisoners to the moment. And I think that a lot of us are. I fall victim to it a decent amount. And so when you talk about kind of the most talented throwers in NFL history, I think you have to talk about Marino, Favre, Elway, Rodgers. Those are the four names I throw out there. And it's not about arm strength, because when you watch some of these throws that Rodgers and Favre and Elway made, it's absurd. I mean, the velocity on the ball is just impossible to comprehend. What I think Mahomes is so good at is the angles on which he can get these throws off. So I'm thinking about the throw to Kelce, the same one I just mentioned, where he's moving to his right and he pushes it to his right sidearm. I know Matt Stafford does that, but Matt Stafford doesn't combine the accuracy and every other element to it. So if we've seen the throws before, I don't think we've ever seen the combination of the throws before. And that's what intrigues me.
Let's flip over to the NFC, and we're talking with Robert Mays of The Ringer here on The Score as we break down what's going on championship weekend. In the NFC, I think if you would have gone back to, you know, week 10, everyone thought that these were the two teams that were going to match up. And then the Rams kind of hit a bit of a rough spot. As much as we talk about coaching innovation with Sean McVay, I was really impressed with him going against type and saying, you know what? They're letting me run the ball. I'm going to run the ball down their throats to get to the NFC Championship game. That impressed me than a guy who just wants to stay with the thing that he does and has made him famous.
Yeah, I think that their offense, the central element of their offense is the play-action game. And, you know, the running game is part of that. And if you're going to – the Rams are fascinating because they line up with the same 11 guys on virtually every play. You know, it's 11 personnel, three receivers, one tight end, one back. And they mess with that. But the way that they take advantage of kind of being that predictable is that they have an answer to everything. So if you're going to say – all right, you have three receivers in the field. We're going to line up a nickel and cover the receivers. They're going to run it all day. And that's what the Cowboys did for most of that game. But the thing that impressed me most about the Rams' approach is they tweaked it just enough. This season, they only had 4% of their running plays come out of shotgun. Twice on the first two drives, they ran the ball out of shotgun. They were willing to use more two tight end sets than they've used this season. And that's what's when you are really good, when you're at this point in the season, when you're a really good coach, you know how to tweak your tendencies just enough to screw with teams. And that's exactly what McVay did this week, and that's why I think these games are so fascinating. I was in New Orleans this week, and Sean Payton was talking about it. He said, we spent the bye week looking at our tendencies. We spent the bye week understanding where we're 70% this, 30% that out of these personnel packages. How do we play with that? And that's what the Rams did this week, and I think that's what you're going to see on Sunday. And that's why it's so hard to predict what these games will look like, because I just don't know. I think all of these coaches are smart enough to think that way, and I think they're going to go against type often enough for us to have no idea how these things are going to play out.
I know that you're someone who understands statistics and isn't necessarily wowed by them. So I ask you this question, wanting your honest answer. Which unit has been more impressive, Saints offense or Saints defense?
Saints offense. I think the Saints defense is really good. I think it's well constructed, but I think the Saints offense is a work of art. I feel like, you know, I'm thinking about specifically like the Minnesota game, right? So think about that game. Thielen gets down into the red zone and fumbles. And P.J. Williams manages to pick it up. Stephon Diggs stops his route coming across the middle, and P.J. Williams manages to get a pick six. That's luck. Defense is so dependent on being lucky. And it doesn't matter how good your coaching is. It doesn't matter how the personnel that you have. And again, that's why I'm kind of apprehensive about the Bears' future. You need breaks. And no matter how good your defense is, you need every once in a while for the ball to bounce your way. On offense, you dictate. On offense, you dominate. And for the Saints to be this, to be a top five offense every single year for the last 13 years, that's way more impressive to me.
Robert, I really appreciate your time and you dealing with the elements and ambulances that are running past you as you were just trying to make a call and talk some ball. So I appreciate it. Let's talk again soon.
Anytime, man. Any single time. Hopefully I'll be in a hotel room somewhere, not in Logan Square waiting to have dinner.
I actually think it's better that way. So it worked out well. I'll talk to you soon,
man. Absolutely.
That's Robert I'll talk Mays. To you soon. You got it. Robert Mays of The Ringer. He's been a great find over this football season. His stuff is fantastic. If you're a crazy football person, you should be reading his stuff because he goes beneath the surface and really finds out how some of this stuff all works around the league. That's why I value his opinion. That's why I put him on the show. We're going to take a break. But not before I tell you this. This segment is being brought to you by the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer. Cold and flu season hits hard, especially for the millions of people living with heart disease, asthma, or cancer. A fever can be a sign of the flu, which could mean a trip to the emergency room. Use the number one hospital-preferred thermometer, the Exergen Temporal Scanner. Backed by more than 70 clinical studies, it's the best way to stay safe this cold and flu season. When we come back, I will let you hear from the manager of your Chicago Cubs. You'll hear from Joe Madden next here on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Hanging out here at Cubs Convention. Good to see our good friend Layla Rahimi. Not to be confused with Leah Remini. Just asking out. She has now become a fixture on the nighttime show because she has given us a drop. See, the mic's closed, so you're just messing with Miska. Go ahead.
Sorry, Miska. How's it going?
Things are good. I wasn't trying to like convince you to jump up here and be on the show.
I didn't know what was happening. When somebody says my name and we're in a broadcast setting, I just assume it's a cue.
I just wanted to give you the shout out because, you know,
sorry.
The nighttime show loves you. It's like you know, like how we were talking about how we're like on a record. So like we're on the same label, and it's like me shouting you out at a concert. It doesn't mean that you necessarily had to come on stage because I know you got work to do.
But if it's a truly like authentic stage, then that's usually what happens in the crowd. Like when Slim Thug showed up at Drake's show. If you're going to say hey to Slim, and I am not in the Slim Thug realm.
Yes.
He came up there.
All right. So it's like
I'll
Bad Boy.
Now.
It's like Bad Boy. You just kind of jump on stage. You do the feature. And
I need a white tee.
Yes, you do.
And I got to go for life.
Oh, by the way, Championship Sunday in my house. I should have texted you that.
You really should have.
Yeah, but Panther was like, make sure that Layla knows that Championship Sunday is it.
This has gotten really real.
Yeah.
This has gotten really, really real.
So, yeah, if you're free, come on through.
Thank you for the shout out and the invitation.
We will save you a place on the couch.
It's nice to see you two.
Or in the big chair.
That's serious.
Yeah, I'm going to be floating between the first floor and the second floor anyway, so.
Well, Scotty C and I have some work to do. And
yes.
I think you and Herb do, too.
We do.
Misk has already done extra work.
He that's why he's the best in the business. That's why I always ask for him, because he knows what he's doing.
Have you seen the picture I accidentally took of Shep?
The one where he is lovingly looking at Javier Baez?
Every time I look at it, I cry laughing.
You posted it. Tell people where they can see it.
So I first posted it on my Instagram story, which is pretty lit from Cubs Convention. But I was just looking at Javi smiling because he saw me take the pic. I did not realize what was lying beneath.
What was lurking in the background?
Oh, my goodness, Nick Schapowski.
And what was lurking was Schapkowski. And I think you captured him. Wait, so now I got to get you. There we go. That's perfect. So because I want my Instagram story to also be lit, as the kids say.
Scotty C's is the most lit because he's a Chiefs fan and he goes to Tunes on Sundays.
Oh, Tunes is over on Southport, right? You're over there kicking it with all the Chiefs fans? All right, well.
You just pulled back the curtain really real at Cubs Convention.
That's what I do.
All right, I'm going to let you get back to your segment. I'm sorry for literally jumping on stage right now.
I actually appreciate it. I just wanted you to know that it was not mandatory.
Sorry about that. But hey, it's a cell fail. What else is new?
It's not a fail at all. Texter says, even though they called you Julie, props for the Slim Thug reference. So no props to you, Texter, because this is Layla, not
Ask
Julie.
Her.
Julie will be here tomorrow with Maggie for the Julie and Maggie show, like they always do. So shout out to Layla. Shout out to Scotty. for he's taking some great pictures. Hopefully they turn out well.
They're HD, they're DSLR, which is scary.
That's HD is bad for me. Good for you, though, because you actually got to make it. We're literally posing for a picture while I'm doing a radio show right now. This is where we're at right now. But that's why we love Layla, and that's why you're always...
I love you guys.
Always, when you're a microphone is around and it has a score mic flag, just jump on it.
And just enjoy the Shep picture if you can.
At Layla Rahimi, it is an awesome picture that I will now retweet so that people can see it, because Shep, find someone who looks at you the way that Shep is looking at Javier Baez.
If I find somebody who looks at me the way Shep looks at Javier Baez, I will be a very happy woman.
Yeah, well, guess what? There's like 100 men here waiting in line to get an autograph from Lee Smith or Fergie Jenkins that are doing just that.
I'm going to hop off the stage now.
That's Layla Rahimi, one of our friends of the show, who is killing it here at Cubs Convention. So, as I said before the break, and I will retweet that. Joe Maddon talked earlier, and he had a lot of things to say about where the Cubs are at. So I wanted to share that with you before we go back to a little bit of football. And then at 8 o'clock, Pat Hughes is going to join us. He started off by talking about where the other teams in the division are at right now in comparison to where the Cubs are.
Well, yeah, I mean, every team seems to be doing a lot of good work this year, including ourselves. Everybody's bemoaning the fact that we have not gone out there and signed anybody, but I like our names, and that's a big part of why we're going through the offseason in this manner. We just got to extrapolate more out of the boys that are there, which we shall. The Cardinals, they made some nice things. They did some nice things, and so did Cincinnati. Excuse me, I got a cold. Apologize. But I like our group. We just had some really good meetings over at the Wrigley, and going over each guy individually, trying to figure out the best way to get all that out of them. So I'm kind of excited.
So when you talk to either players, coaches, or front office, do you sense that there's an eagerness and even an urgency to get going and get off to a good start in spring training?
Well, everybody is, yeah. I mean, when you have to get that, first of all, the extra month is like so unexpected that when you get that, it really fuels that fire to get back even sooner. We're not used to this. We don't want to get used to this. So I think from top to bottom, everybody's had enough of the off season. We're going to get back to spring training, and we will soon. But it's just the way it happens sometimes. It can't be an oil painting every year, but we got to get back deeper into the season this season.
Ian was saying today that he feels like now it's real. Service day, Cubs convention tomorrow, and spring training. Is that kind of how you feel?
Yeah, you always go through the different processes during the off season, and when you get to this, as a Cub, when you get to this point, you know you're getting close. It is. It's just the way our life works. The season is segmented, it's compartmentalized, and you work through, you know, spring training starts slowly, then all of a sudden gathers speed, and then you're in the middle of the year, and then next thing you know, you're on your couch in the off season. So when you get to this point of the year, you kind of have to turn up the dimmer switch a little bit more, get the lights flowing, and then you get that thing going on, then you get ready for spring training.
Joe, I know you're probably going to hear this a lot. I'd be remiss not to ask you, but
sure.
The lame duck status, how do you deal with it?
The lame duck status, we're all lame duck, aren't we? Actually, I mean, that's, I've been on one-year contracts for many years, but actually I'm on the last year of a five-year contract, so I'm pretty fortunate. I don't worry about it. I don't even think about it unless you ask me about it. As you know, I'm pretty self-confident, and I feel good about what we've done and where we're going in the future. So I, as a minor leaguer, you're pretty much on one-year deals all the time. There was a few times I think I had a two-year deal. So it's just something you don't really focus on, unless it's brought up, I really don't. It doesn't really matter. I'm just focused on us winning right now. That's what these meetings are about today. Really good meetings, very clear meetings, the kind of meetings that direct the group. So I was really pleased with that.
Joe, health is also important for every player, of course, but how important is it for you, Darvish, to be healthy and be productive like everybody hopes he will be?
Well, that really could be a difference maker right there. We know how good he is. Being a part of the five starters would make a huge difference for us. That would permit us to rearrange the bullpen in other ways. So I'm hearing nothing but good things. We'll see once he gets to camp and get him out there on a consistent basis where he's at physically, specifically. But this guy is a difference maker. And if we can get him out there with any kind of regularity, heads up.
Ian was saying, almost laughing about you reading Managing Millennials, saying
for dummies.
You kind of set the bar.
Okay, yeah.
You were a millennial before millennials was a thing.
Sure.
I mean, so how prepared do you feel differently, I guess?
I'd hate to say that I feel differently. I'd be exaggerating. It's an interesting read, though. What it does highlight, it just not only highlights millennials, but this particular book will talk about traditionalists and boomers and Gen Xers and really permits you or defines this whole thing to you. I mean, stuff that we talk about or I've thought about but never really understood, quite frankly, even the years that people were born. And then when you get into the read, the influences of our youth pretty much define what a millennial is or a traditionalist or a boomer is or an Xer is, whatever. So that's the part that was maybe obvious, but I didn't really see it. And whether it's technology with the group, the millennial group, and the group that's coming in now, even more so. So more than anything, the definition permits you to look at it maybe just a little bit differently. But I don't think it really changes a lot of the approach. It may give you a little idea here or there regarding communication. But a lot of it's just common sense and the common cold. Somebody's got to cure that at some point.
Yeah, please.
Lots of Advils.
Can you believe you're coming into a season where there's been so much tumult, and you won 95 games?
I know. That's just the way. That's a good thing, actually. There's a high expectation here. We have a high expectation for ourselves. It wasn't easy winning those 95. We had a lot of adversity regarding injuries, and even the latter part of the schedule last year was not easy. About one day off or something among 45, and that day off we got in at 6 o'clock in the morning. So, it's a good thing. It's good that the expectations are high. I love that our fans have been slightly spoiled by the last 4 years. We want to continue to spoil them. But the big thing is, like always, to play the last game of the year and win it. That is our goal for this year.
Speaking of the fans,
what's up, brother?
Hi.
How you doing?
Good. Maybe it's inevitable, but they're probably not going to be quite as giddy as they were a couple of years ago at the convention. The questions they ask might be a little harder or more sensitive. What's your read on the tone and flavor around this time, this season?
I mean, honestly, that's up to the individual. I really don't understand why anybody would be jaded about this group. If you're a Cub fan, having gone what you've gone through for so many years, I think you'd kind of like this group right now. And I'm talking from ownership right down to the players and everybody among the group. It's a well-run organization, a lot of good young players, a lot of good people, and a very successful group on the field. So it's hard to imagine what else you could possibly want. We want the championship as much as anybody else does, but you got to be somewhat pleased with what's happened over the last 4 years, I would think.
I think they want Bryce Harper.
Oh, is that what you're talking about? How you doing, sir?
Good.
Okay, good. Like I said, I don't think that's going to happen. Again, we really feel strongly, believe strongly in the guys that we do have. The thing we're trying to get, not resolved, but we're just really trying to develop that plan that really extrapolates more out of the group that we do have. And again, when I say that, if you really look at it, it's primarily from the offensive side of the ball. And if you really look at it, that's the entire industry. There's almost every team's going to tell you the same thing about their young hitters. They're waiting for young hitters to develop. We had the best statistical bullpen in the National League last year. Third overall in pitching with the starters combined. Our defense ranked near the top. Our base running was outstanding. There was a lot of good things that happened last year. So when you're really looking for improvement, I think in today's game, not only the Cubs but everybody else, I think if you went to each spring training and talked to the group as they're having their meetings, how do you get more out of the group offensively? That's the real, that's the key. And so I have my ideas. I talked to the boys about it a little bit today. But that's going to be the difference maker with our group. I really anticipate a lot of the same pitching-wise, defense-wise, base running-wise. I think you're going to see a lot of the same. We're just looking for young guys to mature at the plate, which I think a lot of other organizations are waiting for the same thing.
You're coming into this season kind of a rarity. You have another hitting coach, another pitching coach,
yep.
Another bench coach. This
yep.
Doesn't happen very often, 2-3 years in a row.
Coaching the coach is a lot this year. And that's part of one. That's part of the meetings also that we're talking about. I've done in the past like a bi-monthly meetings with the coaching staff to coach the coaches and talk about our guys to really maintain direction specifically with each player. So when you get new guys like that, and especially this year, we have a lot of new faces in that room today, it's going to be really important for me to set the tone among the coaching staff and keeping us on task regarding each player. So we're trying to build in a system or systems that kind of overlap a little bit so that make sure that we do stay on task with all this. And it's kind of a fun challenge, quite frankly. And as I'm talking to you right now, I honestly, I've done this for years. I mean, when I started out doing instructional leagues, there's a lot of methods I put in place back then that we're actually doing right now than a lot of other groups are doing. So if I'm but talking about being more active, we talked about that sooner. It's primarily going to be coaching the coaches and then somewhat more of the players, but really getting involved with this new staff. And it's not inventing new stuff. It's really pretty much about bringing from stuff from the past back into the present.
Joe, so much has been written and said about Addison Russell, but mm-hmm. strictly from a baseball standpoint, how important will it be to eventually get him back and getting back to the player that he was even a couple of years
ago? Well, we're going to find out. I mean, there's a lot of ifs involved in this, and one of the big ifs is just that Addison does the right things to get back here in the first place. And if he does that and everybody's satisfied with that progress, him and us, then you give him the opportunity to become a shortstop again. But right now, our focus primarily is on him becoming the best human being he could possibly become. And when when all those boxes have been checked and satisfied, then you give him a chance to be a shortstop again. So I don't even know where that's going to be until we get to camp. I've spoken with Addy a bit. I've texted with Addy a bit. He seems to be in a good place trying to move in the right direction. But at the end of the day, the if word's still attached to this entire scenario. So we'll wait and see.
Joe, there was an article today out of New York that suggested that Anthony Rizzo and Chris Bryant may have pushed to get a new hitting coach. Obviously, they don't make the calls, but how important is the input of players for something like that?
There's always conversation with players and coaches and managers, and that's not why that all happened. Everybody talks at the end of the season, and it just turned out to be the way that it did. I think Chili Davis is an outstanding hitting coach. Chili and I were together '95, I think it was, and '96 with the Angels, and he and I used to sit in the back room. I'd rub up baseballs, and we would smoke a cigar and just talk hitting all the time. And then, obviously last year, we spent a lot of time together, too. So if anybody's concerned about how good of a hitting coach Chili Davis is, he's one of the best in the business. There's no question about that. It's just a matter of we talked about fit and just different discussions at the end of the year. But I'm so pleased that he got the job that he did. And he and I stay in contact and wish him well, because I'm certain that the Met hitters are going to love him.
A lot of good stuff in there from Joe Maddon. I actually appreciate what seems to be an evolution of his thoughts on Addison Russell as well. The bottom of the hour is being brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join Coach Fitz in the Big Ten West Division and Holiday Bowl champions at Ryan Field this fall when they host Ohio State, Iowa, and more. Season tickets are on sale now at nusports.com. Going to get back to talking a little bit of football. Alex Brown is going to join me in the next segment. At 8 o'clock, Pat Hughes is going to sit down here with me at Cubs Convention. My name is Lawrence Holmes. You're listening to The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
We are in the middle of Cubs Convention here at the Sheraton. I'm Lawrence Holmes here with you until 9 o'clock tonight. We're going to talk with Pat Hughes coming up at 8 o'clock, which I'm sure will be great for the folks that are standing in line in front of me for autographs. We've been kind of flipping back and forth between baseball and football over the last hour, which is good. We talked with Robert Mays of The Ringer, and then we heard from Joe Maddon. Now I get the opportunity to talk with one of my boys. You watch us on Sundays after Bears games on NBC Sports Chicago. He is quite the firebrand when it comes to throwing opinions out there, and has turned into an incredible analyst. Alex Brown now joins me here on The Score. Your boy, AB, what's up?
What's happening, man? How you doing?
I'm doing all right, man. You ready for Sunday or what?
I am. I am ready. I want to see if there's a defense that's going to show up. So not really many less in this whole thing. So all these guys play offense. They just throw the ball around. So we'll see.
I got your initial reaction to the Cody Parkey blocked missed field goal. And you were, you know, out there saying, look, it was blocked. Now that you've had a little time and space away from it, what's your feeling on whether or not he can be back with the Bears next year?
I think he'll be back. I just think that he'll be there'll be some serious competition at training camp, even throughout the spring as well. So I think that's what I think will happen. Had it been just a miss, I think he'd have been gone. I really do. I think he would have went ahead and moved on. And I mean, you almost have to look at the offensive lineman in a sense, because I mean, why don't you do your job if a guy gets back there to block it? So it's not totally Parkey's fault. So if it's blocked, but he definitely will have some stiff competition, hopefully, at training camp this year.
If you were his teammate, what would you have said about him going on the Today Show?
Oh, man. Oh, goodness. I'm not sure I'd have said anything. I'd have been too upset with him because you missed and we lost. And now you're a celebrity now? Now you're doing stuff that guys that actually make that kick do? So that would have bothered me. I don't know if I would have said anything to him. But it definitely would have rubbed me the wrong way. And when I did see him come spring, I might have said something then. When we get back to working out and stuff, I would have said something then. But right now, yeah, I don't think I would have said anything because it wouldn't have been good.
How do you feel about them bringing in Chuck Pagano to replace Vic Fangio?
He's respected, and I thought that's what you really needed. You really needed a guy that can come into a defense that's already solidified as being the best in the league, one of the best at the very least. So you need a guy that's going to be respected throughout the locker room, throughout that defense, and I think Coach Pagano is one of those guys. I still think it's going to be kind of one of those trial and error things because we don't know how he called plays. When Vic Fangio would maybe fall back on a third and long, maybe he'll send the house. Like, we don't know. So I think that's going to be a good adjustment, trying to figure out how he calls plays.
How hard was it to adjust from having a great DC to getting another DC? Because you guys went through this.
Well, yeah, and that's kind of what we got. We got another DC. We didn't get anybody like Coach Pagano, but that's for sure. But, it was very difficult. And I say that because the results just weren't there. So when you go from being top five in the league and not many pieces change, and then you're 25th, 26th, something like that in the league. So there's some issues going on. There's some decisions being made that it's not helping the team like it was the year before, even the year before that. So, and it was one person that was missing, and that was Ron Rivera, in my opinion. And I've been told that, well, it wasn't really Ron. I don't believe that. I've been told by a number of people that Ron wasn't that big of a piece, and I totally disagree. I think he was that big of a piece to our defense. So, and it was downhill when he left.
Alex Brown joining me for a few minutes. We talk Bears and we talk about Championship Sunday coming up. How amazing is what we're seeing Tom Brady and Drew Brees do at this point in their career?
Okay, let's really. Can we stop this? This is nonsense. I mean, we're talking like these guys are running around. They're running for 150 yards a game from the quarterback position. They're doing Michael Vick-type things at 40 or near 40 years old. They're not. They're dropping back and throwing the football. Like, come on, guys. We've seen this before. We saw Brett Favre do it. And we saw him lead a team, I mean, right to the edge of getting to a Super Bowl in the Minnesota Vikings. So, it's not something that we've never seen. It's just, I mean, they're doing it. They're still not very athletic. I mean, I know Drew and he's not very athletic, and Tom is even less athletic than that. But as far as playing the quarterback position, they're good. But you can be 40. You can be 50. What's more impressive to me is that Julius Peppers turned 39 today. That's impressive because he's been in the trenches for a long time, and he is still playing at a high level. So, I don't see where it's that crazy because we've seen guys do it at the quarterback position. It's like Santa Kicker's 44 and still kicking. Well, we're watching one. I don't know how old Vinatieri is, but he's daggone sure enough up there. So he's kicking. I mean, come on. He's kicking the ball. Let's go.
Kicking next year after the way things turned out last weekend because they didn't turn out great for him. I read a stat somewhere where Tom Brady has more playoff wins than like anyone else has playoff appearances.
Yes, he's crazy. I think he is. He's been the leader for most of the time that he's been there. I think their defense is. Early on when Tom took over, I don't think they get enough credit with Vrabel and Teddy Bruschi and Seymour and those guys were there. They were really, really good on defense. But Tom kind of kept the offense going. Tom has been the one guy that's been there the whole time. So I think he and the quarterback position kind of gets the credit. I mean, they always get more credit than they deserve, and then they get more blame than they deserve. So, but Tom, I mean, he's been that guy. That's been there for all this time. So, he's played a huge part. The team that they have this year is very different from the team they had from that 07 team when they went 18-0 and then lost in the Super Bowl. They're very different from that team because they run the ball a lot more now. They're more of a power running football team. And Tom's going to get credit for it, but, I mean, come on, like, this offensive line is really good. Sony Michel and White and these guys coming out of the backfield, I mean, they're really, really good. So, the quarterback will get credit for the wins throughout the playoffs. But, I mean, there are a lot of other guys that are playing a huge role in him getting these wins. So, but Tom, I mean, you know how I feel about Tom. I think Tom's the greatest quarterback ever. I think if he actually wins again, wins the AFC – and gets to another Super Bowl, I think it gets more and more people on that bandwagon of just saying and coming to the realization that he is the greatest quarterback ever, because regardless of what changes around him, he just keeps going. As long as he's there, that New England Patriots team will be a force to be reckoned with.
What would you suggest that the Saints defense do to stop the Rams run game?
It's going to be tough because Rankins is out. So, and I think he played a huge part in that run game, stopping the run the first time they played him. So, I think you have to. It's going to be tough. It'll be too tough to play man to man on the receivers. So, I think you're just going to have to. Somebody's going to have to win. Somebody up front has to get off a block. You can't be glued to blocks as a defensive lineman or even linebacker. So you got to time up your blitzes. You got to blitz in times where throughout the season maybe you didn't blitz on a third and four where you really don't – I mean, that's one of those where they could run it. I mean, it's very plausible that they could run it and get it. If it's third and 12, where they're more likely not going to run it. So in those situations, I mean, you have to come up with a big play. These games come down to one possession games. And if you can steal a possession, and Coach Payton talked about it a lot when I was down there as far as stealing a possession away, giving our team another possession, that's huge in a ball game because you get about eight a game. And if you can steal one from them, well, that gives you nine and it holds them to seven. So, I mean, it's just a matter of I don't know, I'm going to say common sense that if you have more opportunities on offense, well, you have a better chance of scoring. So it's going to come down to some big plays, some tip balls, getting your hands up. But stopping the run, you almost just you pack the box and, hey, on first down, and you make them beat you in play-action game, something like that. Hopefully, they've done it before. We've seen the Rams, when they played the Bears, they completely forgot
about Todd Gurley being in the backfield. So, I mean, they've done that. They've gotten in that mode where they just – you stop them early, then they'll forget about him, and they'll just kind of use him as a decoy, which I think is crazy when you have one of the best, if not the best, back in the league. So, but it's happened before, so we'll see what happens. That noise at the dome is going to be incredible. So it's going to be interesting to see how their offense kind of adjust to that, because it's not going to stop. It's going to be loud the entire time.
AB, I appreciate the time on a snowy night talking a little football with you, and I know you're going to enjoy Sunday. I plan on doing the same, and I know who you're rooting for. Your secondary team. I know who you're rooting for.
Who that, baby?
Exactly. I will be rooting for Drew and the Saints, too. AB, I appreciate you, man. I'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely, baby. Thanks, man.
That's Alex Brown, one of my partners on NBC Sports Chicago, our football after show, which did really well this year, and I really appreciate people kind of gravitating toward it after games. It was a lot of fun. Pat Hughes scheduled to join me. We're going to talk with him next. I saw John Vincent walking around here, too. It's a good day. Back after this on The Score.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.